and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Century Enka Limited Q4 FY22 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Sonpal.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Century Enka Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's first ever earnings conference call for the fourth quarter and financial year ended 2022. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's con call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings conference call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now let me introduce you to the management participating in today's earnings con call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We firstly have with us Mr. Suresh Sadani, Managing Director, and Mr. Krishna Lal Saria, Chief Financial Officer. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Sadani to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. I would like to welcome you to our first ever earnings conference call. I hope you and your loved ones are all keeping safe. Being our first con call, let me start by giving a brief introduction about the company first. Century Enka Limited was established in 1965 by late Sri B.K. Birla in collaboration with Akzo Nobel of Netherlands. Over the years, company has established itself as a reputable manufacturer of high-quality nylon tire cord fabric and yarns, which are used in reinforcement in tires and nylon filament yarn, which is primarily used in apparel industry. We command about 25% share in both these products in domestic market. We have two state-of-the-art manufacturing facilities, which are located in Pune, Maharashtra, and in Bharuch, Gujarat, with a total capacity of about 78,000 tons per annum. As you are aware, the company has approved the capital investment plan of around 309 crores to strengthen its competitive position in tire reinforcement market through modernization of plant and augmenting capacity by 30%, around 30%, and 23 crores to increase the capacity of draw textured yarn and mother yarn. We incurred a cash outflow of rupees 86 crores on this CapEx in FY22. Along with other CapEx, we expect to spend another 200 crores in FY23. We are targeting to commission the NTCF expansion in Q4 FY23. We are also launching polyester tire cord fabric and expect to commission that plant in Q4 FY24. Now let me brief you about the operational highlights for the fourth quarter and the financial year ending 2022. I'm happy to inform that despite ambiguity and unpredictability of the fiscal year, we achieved our highest lifetime volumes, turnover, and profitability. In addition, the company was successful in navigating supply chain disruptions to achieve excellent operating results. Our overall volumes in Q4 increased marginally against the corresponding period in the previous year to 19,031 metric ton. For the entire financial year, our sales volume increased by about 27% to 70,843 metric tons. In nylon tire cord fabric segment, there is an increase in demand in Q4 compared to the previous quarter. The medium to long-term prospects for the segment remain positive, supported by robust tire exports, which are at all-time high. Also increased OEM demand for tires, particularly for truck and bus, light commercial vehicles, and also import restriction on tires and anti-dumping duty on radial tires from China is helping the segment. In nylon filament yarn, slightly higher volumes in Q4 FY22 were supported by robust festive demand, import constraints due to supply chain issues, and China's zero COVID tolerance policy. Cost increases are becoming difficult to pass on due to high absolute yarn prices. In medium term, sales volume will be determined by impact of inflation on discretionary spending and Chinese imports. Lastly, caprolactam prices continued to rise and remained at high levels. Because of geopolitical issues, volatility in caprolactam prices will be a key indicator to watch. Lastly, the company signed a power purchase agreement for 10.5 megawatt hybrid wind, which is wind plus solar, power under group captive norms for its Bharuch plant. The project is expected to be completed by end of Q4 FY23, and we expect a saving of around Rs. 15 crores per annum in power cost when compared to DISCOM power. Additionally, we are happy to report that Century Enka was awarded the Apollo Tyres Gold Partner Award 2021 for supply chain excellence. Now I will request our CFO, Mr. Latsaria, to brief you on the financial performance.
Good morning, everyone. Let me first brief you on the fourth quarter financial performance first and then on the full year performance. The operating revenue for Q4 FY22 stood at 572 crores, which is an increase of 29% year-on-year. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 68 crores, which declined by about 3% year-on-year, representing EBITDA margin of 11.9%. The profit after tax, which we reported, is Rs. 50 crores. There is an increase of 2.5% year-on-year, representing PAT margin of 8.68%. Coming to the full-year financials, revenue for FY22 stood at 2,098 crores, which is an increase of 72% year-on-year. EBITDA for year was 264 crores. There is a growth of 120% year-on-year with EBITDA margin of 12.6%. Profit after tax stood at 184 crores, growing by more than 150%, with PAT margin of 8.78%. There is an increase in working capital by more than 150 crores, which is mainly on account of increased raw material prices and finished goods, which represented 86 crores out of this 150 crores. Balance is mainly on account of higher inventory we carried to avoid any disruption because of supply chain issues. Balance sheet of the company continues to be healthy, and there is a net cash of 307 crores on the balance sheet. All the approved capex we plan to fund out of internal accruals, excepting some loan to avail tough benefit. Finally, board has recommended dividend of 10 rupees per share for the financial year 2022, which will be subject to approval of shareholders. We now open the floor for questions and answer session.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from Lano Shubham Agarwal from Equiras Investments. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for giving me this opportunity. Sir, my first question would be around the capacity utilization. Given that currently we have, last year our total capacity utilization was more than 90%. So for the coming FY23, before our capex come on stream, do you see any potential further increase in capacity utilization possible in the context of very strong demand?
Thank you for your question. See, the capacity utilization and the capacity per se itself is a we don't give an absolute capacity, because that is also dependent on the denier combination based on the demand from the markets. But as you had indicated, our capacity is about 78,000, and yes, the utilization is above 90% for the current financial year as well. Our additional capacity will, first additional capacity will get commissioned in Q4 FY23, and we expect if the markets remain the way they have been in the last year and in the current quarter, we should be able to maintain our capacity utilization above 90%. When the expansion comes into starting, I mean, we expect that we'll have a almost a vertical startup because we are engaged in the same line of business. But we will know only when the actual capacity comes on ground and how does it gets ramped up. So we will know the exact increase in capacity and utilization at the end of Q4 FY23 only.
Okay, so it is fair to assume that for FY23, we will have a similar volume of sales.
It is, as of now, we can assume that, but I mean, given the current volatile situation, geopolitical changes, high inflation rate, I mean, it would be difficult to say that we are 100% confident of that. Yes, we are cautiously optimistic that we should be able to maintain similar capacity utilization if situation does not deteriorate from what it is today.
Perfect, understood. And secondly, coming to margins. So over the last four quarters, if we see our margin has been constantly declining from, let's say, 21 to...
Sorry to interrupt you. We lost your audio in between.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Hello? Yeah. Okay, so I was talking about margins. EBITDA margin for us has been falling since March 21. And currently it is at 11.9%. So going forward, given the raw material prices are increasing, how do we see the margin for the current year to be?
The margins is also a function of the underlying raw material prices. And if you see our absolute numbers, they have almost remained in a range between from Q3 FY21 to the entire all four quarters of the current financial FY22. So margins would depend on what the underlying caprolactam prices are, because I mean we are endeavored to pass through the the raw material price increases to maintain the margins. But as a percentage, it can go on up and down depending on the underlying raw material prices. But I mean again, based on the current scenario and with the caution that there are headwinds related to increase in our power and fuel costs and other uncertainties related to geopolitical situations, we expect the margins to remain in the range of 10 to 13%.
Okay. And sir, how does our contract work with customers? Is it a 3-month, 6-month contract, or do we have a smaller 1-month contract to pass on the increasing costs in the current situations?
So our pass-through of raw material is with a lag of prices are with, in case of tire cord fabric is with a lag of a month. Whereas in the textile segment where we operate, we are present in the nylon filament yarn. That is subject to lot of variables, including import from China, domestic demand, festival season offtake, lot of downstream related weaving sector healthy. So that is not a very clear pattern on when the pass through happens, and that remains more of a market where we decide the prices on the market situation on a monthly basis. But in case of tire cord fabric, we have a 1 month lag for pass through of the raw material prices.
Okay, and out of our entire raw material basket, how much, what percentage are we dependent on China?
Chinese would be about 40% of our total. We import about 65% of our total raw materials, and 35 to 40% of that, I mean 35 to 40% would be the dependence on China.
Okay, and lastly, one broad question I wanted to understand. So given that obviously in a very short-term situation, NTPF demand is pretty strong, bias tire demand is pretty strong, but going ahead in future, obviously there will be a movement towards radial tire. So in the long-term scenario, how is the company placed and what is our strategy to counter that?
I would like to first call, like to explain how does the dynamics of this business. we have a common raw material, which is caprolactam, and which is converted to chips, or we also buy chips, and all the nylon yarns are made from caprolactam. So we have a spinning capacity which represents the capacity, and we produce yarns, and there is market for yarns. So all types of yarns are sold internationally and also to some extent in domestic market also. And based on the demand for various end-use segments like tire cord and other NFY segments like textile yarns or sewing threads or fishnets or apparels, or we decide on what should be the right mix of sales, not necessarily on every month basis, but in medium term, or at least when we make plans for future. So in that scenario, while we expect that the tire cord, nylon tire cord fabric demand may not grow at what it used to, and will have a slower growth rate compared to other reinforcement materials, there is a segment which is completely dependent on tire cord, nylon tire cord fabric, which is tractor, OTR, two-wheelers, and the demand from these segments should continue, and on the general expectation that if India's GDP were to grow, all these segments have to grow. All these automobile segments have to grow. So in that context, we do not anticipate, at least in the medium term, a very significant contraction in the tire cord fabric demand, nylon tire cord. And as I said, we have alternates to sell yarn instead of converting it into tire cord fabric, and it has both domestic and international markets. And we can at least in medium term or short term period, we can do some change in the end use where the yarns are going. So that's the extent. Our strategy is to ensure that we have presence in multiple end use segments, and we monitor the growth of each of them and address them in a way that are overall beneficial to the company.
Additionally, we are also planned a capex on polyester tire cord, and many of the equipment are fungible between nylon tire cord and polyester tire cord. So once polyester tire cord capacities are on stream, that would provide additional flexibility to the company.
So I was coming to this point only. In our presentation, we did mention about PTCF, but what's the total capacity that we are planning to do this, come up with?
This is a question we would, because of the company interest and competitive reason, we would like to stick to one capacity for the company. And
okay.
There are obviously company benefits which we have to keep in mind.
So basically, you are saying all our NTCF capacity or some part of NTCF capacity can be fungible and transformed to PTCF capacity if required.
Some parts of the equipments to that. I mean, some downstream equipments are fungible and can be utilized for further expansions in this segment. And within the nylon itself, there are some segments with some end-use segments which can be made fungible from our. As I said, nylon is a very wide, yarn is a very wide end-use segment. Multiple textile and the tire cord becomes more dominant because it is seen as large segment. But there are other segments also, ropes, fishnets, sewing threads, backpacks, parachutes, and many, not necessarily of the same size. So that gives an option for company to evaluate those in case we have to make a major switch in our end use sales that we are currently doing.
Thank you. Shubham, I request you to come back in the question queue. A request to all the participants, please restrict to two questions per participant. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Shah from JSK Wealth Management. Please go ahead. Sorry, JKS Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me on the program. And congratulations to the management for posting such excellent results, highest ever turnover and highest ever net profit. And the gentleman who asked all the questions, I have all my those queries are fulfilled. I just wanted to ask, just out of inquisitiveness. From past many years, Century NK has not been on an expansion or capacity increase, but this is the first year when lot of positive things are happening for the company. So I would just, out of inquisitiveness, I would like to ask that, is Mr. Kumar Mangalam Mithra now taking interest in the company, as the previous MDs are all senior citizens and would not be able to cope up with the day-to-day work of the company? And my second question is, the property which has to be, which is for sale in Mahad, what is your vision that when would that succeed, or when would the deal be done?
Coming to your first question, I think it will not be proper for the management to respond to involvement of promoters and others. Yes, okay. This is a board-governed company, and you would have seen the representation on the board. I think it's all there are all professionals on the board, and everybody is taking keen interest to ensure the growth of the company. So, I mean, it's not fair to talk about the past management or other promoters and what has happened or not happened in past. I would rather say we are looking to have profitable growth in the company for the future, and there is good amount of support from the board to ensure that Century NK also grows in line with many other companies of the group. The second part related to Mahad, we are evaluating options on best utilization of the land that we have there, either internally or look for opportunity outside. So as and when any developments happen, it will be informed to the stock exchange as well as all the investor community.
Okay, thank you. And one more thing, as an investor asked, our company gets a very low PE despite having very good fundamentals. There is not much cost on the interest side. Only our power fuel cost is increasing. So generally people ask, you know, why investors in this company, the company gets such a low PE despite such strong fundamentals. Of course, I know you are not in a position to answer that, but just as an inquisitive investor, I would like you to throw some light on that, please.
I think you already gave my answer that I cannot respond to how market takes the financials, but I mean, we are as a management and the company are focused to ensure that we continue to give sustainable results and also look for continuous growth of the company.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And once again, congratulations for the great results you have posted.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anant Mundra from My Temple Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to understand regarding the CAPEX. So our current capacity is around 78,000 MTPA. And what would it be after the capacity expansion? And if you could give a breakup between the NFY and NTCF, and also wanted to understand if the entire NTCF and NFY capacity is also fungible? That would be my first question. Thank you.
Yeah. So, see, the current capacity is 78,000. As I said, it is also a function of the 10-year combination. But yes, we use that as a reference. It is expected to, by end of FY23, increase when we complete the Q4 of our current financial year. The first part of the expansion should reach to about 90,000 tons per annum. And end of FY24 should be about 97,000 tons per annum on the announced capex that have been given. I think we have already responded that we are reporting our results under one segment, and for the reasons which are already explained, we maintain with only one capacity. Regarding the fungibility, some of the machines are fungible, the categories could be different. The end user segments could be technical textiles, it could be certain special textiles which are utilized in different kinds of fabrics. So even within end use of NFY, there are multiple segments, which itself sometimes can be qualified as textiles and sometimes as a different, depending on how it is used. So that's the reason that there is a some fungibility between the various textile end usage as well as the tire cord and the technical textile end usage.
Okay, okay. Thank you. And sir, one more thing. How much of our CAPEX spend is going towards modernization and how much is going towards capacity expansion out of the 309 crores?
309 actually was almost, I mean, we have more CAPEX beyond 309, which is regular CAPEX. So that we have given only the spend part, about 200 crores that we intend to spend in the financial year FY23. About 20% or between 15% to 20% would be towards modernization. The balance is towards the capacity expansion.
Specific CAPEX expansion, we have given the number in our press release, which was somewhere around 260 crores.
Okay. And so the PTCF capacity that is coming up, that will solely be for radial, or that can be, I mean, that is used in bias ties as well?
No. That is mainly goes for passenger car radials.
Okay. All right. And sir, one last question. We are sitting on around 309 crores of cash, net cash on our balance sheet, and our capacity expansion is around 200 crores. And every year we are generating surplus cash as well. So what is the, what is the management or board's decision, or what is their view regarding this cash? How do they want to utilize this cash?
So we will be evaluating and further growth opportunities even within this financial year, and once it is reviewed and approved by the board, it will also be utilized for expansion of capacities or getting into different kinds of related fields. But the intention is to utilize this cash for more productive uses in future as well, and maintain sufficient liquidity on the balance sheet so that we don't have to borrow. We don't intend to utilize any debts for our future CAPEX as well.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I have some more questions. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Weber from Honesty and Integrity Investments. Please go ahead.
Thanks for providing the opportunity. So just wanted to understand the supply side scenario on the caprolactam. Any improvement in domestic supply you're foreseeing in next 1 year or so, or the situation will continue to be import dependent?
There has been one development in the last financial year. FACT in Kerala, which was closed for about 9 years, restarted their operations in September 21. And we had contracted with them, and that was one of the very helpful developments which have helped us in our Q3 and also in Q4, because that was the peak time when there were supply chain disruptions for imports. And we intend to continue engaging them and making them as a regular source of caprolactam. And to that extent, our dependence on imports would come down. However, since we are also expanding our capacity and there are no additional caprolactam suppliers, there are being only two, and they have not announced any expansion plans, our import dependence would go up again. But the good part is that there are two suppliers now from domestic manufacturing for supply of caprolactam.
Okay, understand. And for NTCF business, as of now, whatever sales that we are doing, is it mostly to for commercial vehicles, or if you can provide the bifurcation between commercial vehicles and other for NTCF business?
We sell it to tire companies, and we don't get end user usage of our, because the difference is mainly deniers and certain technical parameters between the various grades of NTCF. So The tire companies and the utilization of NTCF is from truck and bus radials, tractors, off-the-road vehicles, two-wheelers and three-wheelers, and also LCVs. So they have multiple usage, and the tire companies decide where they want to give, and they also give us a plan in terms of the mix they want in terms of changes. But we have no clear ideas on where, particular deniers or particular kind of pattern is going in which time kind of tires.
Right. And earlier in the call, you know, you mentioned about that, you know, tractor, OTR and two-wheelers see continued dependence on NTCF rather than the, radial tires and PTCS. So what is the reason behind that, that these segments are not transitioned to the newer technologies? Is there any kind of cost-related issues or there are some technological challenges which make PTCF unsuitable for these tires?
No, actually, it is also the load bearing and where these tires are used. So NTCF is more suitable where the tires have to be used in rough terrain. One of the reasons that the radialization has happened is once the road infrastructure improves, radial tires give a better fuel efficiency in certain categories like trucks and buses. However, in certain like two-wheelers and tractors and OTRs, and two-wheelers, we have a very large base in the rural economy. And that is where so that is the reason that the two-wheeler tires, tractors, and even it is not only tractors and OTRs, even worldwide are still using the bias tires, which are, NTCF based reinforcement.
Understand. And the last question on my side, on the CapEx front, so for expansion, you have earlier said that nearly 260 crore is for expansion, and this will lead to increase in capacity by nearly 25% from around 78,000 to 97,000 by end of FY24. So if we see that, this CapEx on per ton of capacity seems very high as compared to whatever block is for which we are already, doing a lot of maintenance. If the revenue potential is same, then obviously our asset turnover will go down on full utilization basis. So do you expect them to make up from the margins, and why do you think that additional capacities will have, lower asset turnover can be made up in additional margins?
See, we are comparing oranges and apples because our capacities have come up, these capex have come up in more than 8 to 10 years, even 15 years old. So we can't compare that cost even on gross block basis with the current cost. But our costs are comparable and competitive with the expansion that happen anywhere in India or otherwise. And we are dealing with the best reputed OEM suppliers. So this is a, any industry which does a capex after, it replicates or adds machines after such a gap, there will be definitely a change in comparisons would look like that we are spending too much for a small capacity addition, but any new plant which will were to come up would spend up the same amount. And margins will be determined by the markets and the outputs are what we have already indicated.
Okay, so that's it from my head. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Anand Mundra from My Temple Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
So thank you for giving me the opportunity again. Sir, regarding this contingent excise related contingent liability on our balance sheet, sir, when do we expect this to be finally behind us? Because we understand the matter is now in Supreme Court. So when is the hearing expected, and when do we finally expect this to be behind us fully?
So as you are aware, liability which was bloated at 230 crores has now come down to 7 crores and plus interest and penalty, if any. And Supreme Court, this matter has been tagged with two existing matters which are pending or which are of similar nature. And they are pending for quite long. So it's not, it will be difficult to say when they will be settled, but it's not an overhang now on the organization because the amount remaining which remains is there is quite small. And the matters where it has been tagged, they were decided in favor of the companies, which are, and the department is in appeal. So this is not a big worry now for the organization.
So there is no scope of this amount being revised upwards again, because I think the department has appealed against their own officer's assessment. So then,
yeah.
I mean, they are appealing for a higher assessment again. So
Assessment has been done as per the order of CSTAT, and it is more of an administrative appeal which is there in the department. So our expectation is that the amount which has been determined is final.
And the penalty is equal to this amount of around 7
yeah.
crores.
Yes.
And
so,
how much would be the interest as per our internal calculation there?
It will be of similar nature. So our expectation is the maximum liability could be around 25 crores, including penalty and interest. But we obviously are not of the view that this will be the case. But in worst case scenario, this could be around 25 crores.
Okay. And this has already been, how much is the amount that is already deposited with the authority?
Basic amount has been deposited. 7.3 crores is the basic amount that has been deposited with the authorities.
So there is no
further interest which can come.
Okay. And so just one last question. The main raw material that we source is only caprolactam, or there are other raw materials also that we source from the market?
No, the main raw material is caprolactam only. Others are only additives. And caprolactam, the second stage of usage to convert it into nylon yarns is to convert them into chips. So we buy caprolactam as well as we buy chips, and then it is converted into nylon yarns. But others are only additives. This is the major raw material.
But we have capacity to convert into chips in-house as well, right, sir?
Yeah, for about 40% of our total capacity.
Okay. So chip availability is there in domestic market, or like caprolactam, even for that we are import dependent?
No, chips is very small capacities are available, which are available for merchant sale. So chips are primarily imported. Caprolactam, as I already mentioned in an earlier question, that after startup of FACT, our dependence on imports has gone down, but with our expansions coming in, the imports will again slightly go up. But primarily, the import dependence will still remain significant.
All right. And there is no, I'm not aware of how the process to manufacture caprolactam is, but there is no scope for us to backward integrate somewhat into this.
No, caprolactam is a petrochemical product and normally becomes a part of a major, either a fertilizer producer or like GSFC or FACT. So these are not small scale investment, but these are normally combined as a part of a large petrochemical product plant.
Okay. And domestically, none of these manufacturers have announced further capex into caprolactam. So that is there any scope for future domestic capacities coming up?
As of now, both the players have not announced any expansions.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Pawan Nahar, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, Mr. Sodhani, Mr. Lotharia. Thank you for hosting this call. And I have a few questions. Number one is I want to, like, whatever I've understood thus far in this call is that the future we are going to be investing for growth, which is the big change versus, or the big change that has been, you know, has been initiated in the last 1 year versus the past. Is that a fair assessment that we are looking at growth, you know,
yes,
across businesses?
Yes.
Okay. Second is, if you can just give me some sense in a few years, whether it could be 3 years or 5 years, like how do you see this company? You know, you have your base business NTCF, which may remain stable. Within the nylon yarns, you are trying to, you know, do more value add, trying to find new opportunities. And then you are entering the radial market too via PPCS. Now, if you can, in a few years, how do you see this? How do you want to visualize the company?
If we were to broadly say which are the end segments we are currently servicing, it is reinforcement markets of the tires and textile with an extension of giving it to even technical textiles. And so in this reinforcement markets, we already have a good presence in the nylon tire cord fabric. We have made an entry into the polyester tire cord fabric, and that provides us a good opportunity to grow within polyester tire cord, because there is a large import dependence on the polyester tire cord as of now, as also that the import duty on polyester tire cord in the last budget was increased from 5.5% to 22%, which makes the domestic manufacturing more attractive. Given that we expect as an overall that the personal mobility will remain as a theme, and cars will have a greater demand in future with a growing GDP of the company and a lot of people coming into the middle class and upper middle class looking for a personal vehicle. So that demand should be giving us a good opportunity to expand beyond what we have initiated as was announced in the last financial year. But the reinforcements, the auto segment continues to grow, and if there were more radialization happening, that could open up an opportunity, particularly on the truck and bus side, to look at the steel tire cord also. That is something which is also on our radar, but that is more long-term than medium-term. But that will kind of complete the reinforcement side of the tires. On the textile, as I said, there are so many sub-sections of the textile. Our overall aim would be to look for opportunities which gives us a distinct advantage compared to products which are easily manufactured by small players or even individual proprietors. So that is the differentiation we would like to maintain. So which gives us a high presence, better margins in the end use segments. We will continue to look at opportunities into that segment. And we are currently focused only on the Indian markets, because there is a good scope to service the Indian market. We have not actually explored opportunities to expand geographically in our market reach. And that is another growth opportunities which will remain for future. So these are the broad ideas that we have been discussing. And this is broadly the line that we would like to follow. Given that we have strong cash on the balance sheet, if any interesting opportunities come otherwise also, we will be evaluating that as well.
Okay, so that's very good to know. So basically, within reinforcement markets, we are, you know, adding capacities. We already have NTCS from expansion. Then B, we are entering PTCF, which is largely serviced by imports. And we may consider, or we will reevaluate steel tire cords, right? And enter the full reinforcement markets for tires, okay? And second is within textiles, you are saying you will focus on more niche, where you are not competing with small, low-cost or unorganized players, but more on the technical side. Can you just elaborate what are the opportunities, which segments there?
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. The line for the management dropped. Please stay connected while we rejoin the management back to the call. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience. We have the line for the management reconnected. Pawan,
yes.
I request you to repeat your question once again.
Can I repeat?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, so within the textiles or technical textiles, if you can talk, which are the areas or opportunities which we are looking to explore or, you know, strengthen in?
I'm sorry, for competitive reasons, we cannot disclose that because these are more strategic decisions. But as and when, we will, as I said, the intent is to look at niche segments, look at the differentiated products and products which are give a better value addition. That will be the overall theme, but we can't be more specific than that.
So that's fine. That's good to know. So basically, growth is back. And generally, when this would be for Mr. Lakhtariya, though I would have asked you this question a few times earlier as well. When you are doing this CapEx, what is the kind of payback you are looking at?
So the paybacks are, in range which have to qualify and to be satisfied by the board. We, again, it will be in line with the industry scenarios that prevail for this kind of industry. We can't, again, be sharing individual or the range at which we approve CapEx, but these are reviewed, as I said, by a very professional board, and only after that it is approved for implementation.
This is all good to know. Thank you so much and wish you all the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Webov from Honesty and Integrity Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so thanks for the follow-up. So for both NTCF and PTCF, we have heard you that, you know, there are a lot of imports that has happened. So just wanted to understand, I think most of the imports will be from China in both these segments. So where is the cost differential lies that they are able to import at lower cost? I understand tariff barriers are there currently, which might mitigate the cost differential. But is it on the power side? Is it on the raw material side? Or where is the differential cost for manufacturers in China and for manufacturers like you in India?
I think I'll have to give a very generic answer because we don't have a breakup of the cost structure at the Chinese producers. I think China has similar pricing policies related to almost entire exports, especially in the B2B products. So they it's not very open in terms of what is their cost structure. But one definite advantage that China has is it is the largest producer of caprolactam as well as chips. And that, I think, gives them a good advantage on all nylon related and to some extent even polyester related because they have petrochemical plants everywhere. The scale is so huge and the capacities are so huge that they are competitive in almost all exports that they make to whether to India or any other country in the world.
Right. Correct. Okay, sir. I think that. And in terms of NPCF market and for both NPCF and PTCF, so currently, if the market is X, how much is the imports in both the markets in terms of share?
I think PTCF we can be more precise because there are very low availability of domestic supplies. Almost 90%+ of PTCF demand is met by imports. NTCF we don't have a number in terms of percentage share because the volumes range between 1,000 to 3,000 tons per month, but we are not able to tell what is that terms in terms of how much percentage it becomes as a part of the total demand.
Okay, got it, sir. That's it for now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Shubham Agarwal from Equiras Investment Consultancy. Please go ahead.
Just had one small question. So in the presentation, around 106 crore of other revenue is mentioned. So wanted to know what is the nature of this revenue, apart from NTPS and NY or something.
So in case of our chips requirement, we get our caprolactam converted into nylon chips. So because of the timing differences and to follow GST law, we sell caprolactam and buy the chips. So that turnover has been shown separately. So this is mainly conversion of caprolactam to chips, but being reported as trading turnover.
Got it. And what would be our average caprolactam buying price currently?
So last month it was around $2,300. On it's not our price because these are followed by these are the global indices. So Technon index was at around $2,300 per metric ton.
Okay, and what's the total month of inventory that we keep in caprolactam?
So generally, it's ranges depends on how much we plan from domestic market and how much is planned from the imported sources. And based on that, we decide what is the number of days we would like to keep. And it varies based on the planning for procurement. But generally, it is around 20 days inventory we would on an average keep if we were to take historical data.
Okay. Got it, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you once again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, we thank all the participants for participating in the call. We hope that we have answered all the questions to the satisfaction of the all the participants. If you have any further questions or if you would like to talk about, you may reach us reach to our investor relation manager at Valorem Advisors. Thank you to all. We hope that you will maintain good health and we wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Century Anchor Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.